The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Art of Transformation with your host, Mara Evenstar. Transforming our world can seem to be an overwhelming task. However, there are universal patterns of change that can be worked with personally or collectively. Join us as we explore conscious transformation. Now, here is your host, Mara Evenstar.
Good day to you, everyone. I am Mara Evenstar, and I welcome you to the Art of Transformation. This morning, I'm going to start us out with a little quote, kind of get the tone going for today's show. The quote's by B.K.S. Iyengar. Where does the body end and the mind begin? Where does the mind end and the spirit begin? They cannot be divided, as they are interrelated and but different aspects of the same all-pervading divine consciousness. So today we have the juicy topic of sacred sexuality, and we are in the capable hands of sacred sexual healer and transformational guide, Leslie Blackburn, one of the leading authorities on sacred sexuality and tantra in the U.S. Leslie is a former mechanical engineer specializing in quantum physics and was an Ironman triathlete before her spiritual awakening. Through her mystery school of the Temple Arts, she has now worked with hundreds of clients individually, conducts workshops regularly, and has reached thousands with her inspirational presentations ranging from intimate groups to large speaking engagements. Her monthly radio program is one of the most listened to on the Body, Mind, Spirit radio, and Leslie bridges the gap between sexuality and spirituality and her personal path, and her work has been the integration of the ever-unfolding feminine in body and psyche with masculine direction and purpose, or what we would call love in action. So, Leslie, I'm so excited we get to finally bring our work together. Welcome.
Yay. Yay. Thank you so much, Mara. It is really, I'm really honored to be here with you, and I'm excited that we get to weave together in this work. Yes.
Yes, me too. And today you've got a throat thing going on, so we're going to kind of go low and slow.
Perfect. It's beautiful.
So let's start with a really basic question, which I know is not that basic. What is sacred sexuality?
Indeed. Thank you. To me, sacred sexuality really is a life path. That's one of the things I've been noticing. It's this journey of self-awareness and self-realization that when I first started to tap into what is sacred sexuality for me, I don't think I fully acknowledged that until I really started to walk it. And what I mean by that is this journey of trusting being in my body, trusting connecting with our power, you know, connecting with that life force energy that is who I am and flows through me, that very nature of trusting being in a body and trusting our power, which has a lot to do with unwinding those distortions that we've maybe connected with or had other influences around that says, you know, our bodies are not to be trusted. So if I had to sum it up, I would say it's really about trusting being on our bodies and connecting from that place of body with the world around us, with spirit, with others, with ourselves, and a journey of really acknowledging that our sexual energy has this power that we can start to tap into that is much about connecting with our own healing in our bodies, connecting deeply with others, manifesting our heart's desires, and really connection with source, with divine transcendence in whatever way that may be for us. It's a really potent journey in that way. It's very full. Yeah.
Yes. It's like the whole enchilada, right?
Absolutely. And that enchilada, like for me, it starts with really the awareness that we are energetic beings that are so much more vast than this physical form.
Yes.
So being in a physical body is actually this divine gift. Yet, wow, our potency, our possibility for being in for being an energetic being and having the capacity to tap into that infinite realm is very powerful. And as we acknowledge that infinitude and that capacity, it's exciting. And then there's also, like, I often will get this little wiggle in my body as I delight in, yeah, I'm allowed to be in here, this gift of being here in physical form, so that from that place, it's changing my perspective of my relationships with others, with nature, deepening with nature, deepening with the earth and with spirit. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful journey.
And so what does this path to healing really look like? So what's the work all about?
To me, it's really that what is sacred and spiritual can't be separated from the physical sexual. In fact, it comes back to, I love the quote you selected, Iyengar, where he's saying that very thing, that how are we separate? You know, body, mind, and spirit, it is all consciousness and how they blend together. So this nature that what is sacred and spiritual, which for me means intentional, can I slow down and really listen and make conscious choices, not only in my day-to-day interaction in the world, but taking that into that deep, deep, rooty territory that's associated with our sexuality. And that can be scary territory to enter into. So noticing the slowing down process, allowing ourselves to be in a place of listening, and that really is the key to me of the journey, the keys to, I'm going to now tap into the wisdom, the deep wisdom that's encoded in my body. So as you mentioned, you know, what does it look like as a path? It starts for me as slowing way down. Like if I can slow down and kind of bring some presence to my own body and to how I'm interacting with the world with love and respect, then that gives me a ground point to bring all the other pieces in. One piece I would share around that is sometimes we think of sex, you know, sexuality as this energy we have to kind of tuck away in a box, like, oh, that's sex. I need to kind of squash that into this tidy little container and kind of put it away on a shelf and only bring it out in certain conditions, maybe.
When it's time to have sex.
When it's time to have sex, you know, and that time to have sex thing can look so different for different people, right? Maybe it's only under the covers in bed at night with lights off or whatever that looks like. But that really, what's it like to bring awareness and kind of lift the veils of our sexuality as a life force energy that's running through our bodies, and that we can connect with and work with that in those powerful ways, as I mentioned, of healing and connection and even manifestation. It's a really powerful journey in that way. The thing when you ask about, like, what does it look like as a path to healing, one of the things that came up for me is one of the core principles of how I offer this work, for example, in my journey as a sacred sexual healer and a transformational guide. What I've found in my own path as being so crucially foundational for it, and then what I offer, is that the nature of container, that what's it like to acknowledge that in the very nature of transformation itself, which is really about, you know, that alchemical transmutation potential. Like, oh, I can make a change. And that I'll even offer, as one of my teachers states, and I love this, like, as energetic beings, we can only change and grow when we're incarnate. And that's a pretty powerful concept to sit with. Like, oh, what a gift then to be incarnate, to be in a body where I have that opportunity to transmute and change. And that as I was sitting with this in my own journey, coming across this quality that alchemy requires three major things. I need, if I use a simple example of transforming liquid water into steam, that if I have the water, I need that component is number one, the substance, the thing I'm working with to change. Mm-hmm. And the second piece being the fire, the energy or the intention I'm going to work with that substance. And if I only have those two things and I just dump the water on the fire, you know, it just kind of puts the fire out.
Right.
So there's, it makes a mess maybe, but it doesn't really evoke a lot of change. And so that's where I invite the container, where the container comes in, that if I bring a pot in for that water and I put the water in the pot, now I can actually invite transformation and change by acting through that container. So the nature of the foundational space of container, which has a whole vast expression on it itself, is really kind of, to me, what it's about.
And I would assume that this path, as we're talking about, though, it sounds good, slowing down, introspecting, beginning to feel safe. But this takes a lot of courage, I think. We have a lot of conditioning that we have to overcome.
Absolutely. The courage and the presence of not only bringing it into what I'll call these cooler states of, yeah, you know, I'm going to slow down and make a conscious choice around the food I'm bringing into my body right now, for example. Or I might slow down and make a conscious choice that this TV is really kind of distracting me and really isn't helping me be here now, and turning that off. Those are some steps to what's it like to be mindful and aware in my body. And yet, you know, imagine as we go with that and then we start to bring that, I'm going to slow down and actually notice coming in contact with my love, you know, bringing the points of breath and sound and connection into this exquisite moment of now through something that we often rush right through, right? Sex, like, ooh, it's all right. This, I got to build this up into some peak, you know, orgasmic experience, which are delightful, don't get me wrong. And yet that presencing opens the space of infinity in the moment, and doing that and bringing that awareness deep into our bodies and our sexual energy is that much more complex, and therefore the need for courage, and that much more profound. And what I'll say, like the gems that emerge for that are really that much more wonderful, like full of wonder, full of awe, full of gratitude. And it reminds me the nature of bringing that type of awareness is I'll work with this quality that we're it's really about bringing balance. So it's not just that, oh, I can only have sex in this really sort of om spiritual intentional way. Like, I think sometimes that gets misinterpreted. It's like, no. Like, feeling in our bodies, it can be raw and rooty and gritty, that it's a quality of balance and working with what I call feminine and masculine energies in that balance, and not as a gender expression, our feminine and masculine, more as the qualities of complementary energies that we can express and bring healing in our bodies and bring them together to integrate in wholeness. What I might invite as our masculine being this really active, fiery, doing, planning, getting things done, and that piece of us that operates outside of ourselves to negotiate the world.
Right.
Yeah, and then that's beautiful. And he's our thinker planner. You know, he's our thinker planner doer.
Yep.
And then there's this exquisite feminine that comes in as the complement. And she's this like juicy, open, surrendering, allowing, this fluidity that brings the complement to that very fiery, active masculine. And she's the being that balances that doing and the feeling that balances the thinking. And for me, that's been an intriguing piece of my journey. We'll come back to, but the nature of what's it like to really connect with these qualities and then allow ourselves to integrate that wholeness. And I'll offer that for me, it comes back again to container, that when I could learn and tap into my masculine energy in a different way from the fiery, active overachiever that I was, that it became this place of like creating safety and holding space and deeply witnessing without judging, without labeling or categorizing, simply holding space and being with. And that energy that I sum up as sort of a, like, I gotcha. Kind of that quality. You know, we don't get that a lot often. You know, it wasn't mom, it wasn't dad. It's often, we don't have a lot of role models for what that looks like, right, societally speaking. So that's the invitation I like to offer as an inquiry. You know, can we tap into that in ourselves as women, in ourselves as men, however we identify, that I gotcha. You know, that we can tap in to that as container to let, the juiciness and the vibrancy of the feminine come in, which she is not going to do unless she feels safe. And yeah, that to me is a big piece, as you were asking, of what does this look like as a path to healing, is tapping into that we can create the space of possibility for ourselves to really make changes in our body.
Yeah, we being New Myth Works have been talking about this too, and about the role of the masculine. And we do often think of it as this outward energy, but the role of the masculine in actually creating this structure, this container, this protection from which then the feminine feels safe to move forward is just this beautiful, beautiful thing. And it is, I think, a different feel to the energy than we often think of. And I believe you're right. We don't have a lot of role models for this right now.
Yes. Yeah.
So it is time for us to go to a break. And when we return, we'll continue our conversation with Leslie and hear a little bit about how she came to be a sacred sexual healer.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. Where can you listen to some of the world's top life coaches ready to dish out success tips and entrepreneurial guidance? The Voice America Empowerment Channel will do just that. Whether it's personal growth, building a better business, or inspirational life stories, make it a daily habit to tune into our programs. From weight loss and personal branding to law of attraction and increased happiness, you'll find it every day at VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed.
Are you ready for a health, life, and empowerment show in one? Then be sure to listen every week for Living Well with Ann Beal. Ann takes her long-running TV show to the Internet Talk Radio airwaves with guest experts and insight designed to help you live a healthy and successful life. By hearing from the experts and those who have found success, our goal is that you too will be motivated to do the same. Living Well with Ann Beal can be heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to The Art of Transformation with Mara Evenstar. If you would like more information about our program or just have a question or comment about today's episode, please send an email to rami.services@gmail.com. That's ARAMMAI.services@gmail.com. Now, let's continue with The Art of Transformation.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we're talking about the art of transforming our sexuality with our transformational guide. And I might also add a really wonderful artist, Leslie Blackburn. And So you're an artist and a mechanical engineer and a sacred sexual healer, and we are all complex, multifaceted individuals. We all have many of these pieces, but I'm really yearning to hear the story of how a mechanical engineer and an Ironman triathlete came to be a sacred sexual healer.
Thank you so much, Mara. It has been an intriguing journey indeed. And it's exciting to share. I thank you for the question. The way that started to change for me, I started to touch on this. There was this quality of, I was feeling myself very strongly in my masculine. I wouldn't have been able to articulate it that way then. But I could, looking back, I can see me in this really analytical, hyper overdrive kind of path. And that's not bad. It was great, actually. It was of deep service. I enjoyed doing what I did as an engineer and in the endurance athlete realm and feeling, you know, for me, it was really, especially with Ironman triathlon, for example, it was like, what can this body do? You know, and just kind of exploring what is possible and really coming to the conclusion that like anything's possible as long as I choose to explore that, you know, and set my mind to it. And that's an empowering piece of the path. So I don't want to discount this part of my journey.
Right.
And I could see I was heading on a really burned out sort of a trajectory. And what happened was I was kind of doing the, oh yeah, you know, I've got the career and the car and paid off the student loans. And I was married at the time. So I've got this relationship, this partnership and we're moving through life and we're acquiring all the stuff. And I got this kind of this first glimpse of my body going, oh, it's time. Like it's time for a baby. And so I spoke that with my husband and we decided, yes, we're going to try to have a baby. And what I did is I kind of tackled it like everything else on the list. You know, certainly I just put it on the goal sheet and then, you know, I could accomplish that.
And, good job.
Yeah, totally. So I'm going to put it on the list. And, you know, certainly if I just have sex on the right days and, you know, whatever, it's going to work. And what happened was it wasn't working. And that was really hard for me, hyper goal achiever, to sit with. Like, what do you mean? You can't do this. What are you doing wrong? You know, and really applying more fuel to that fiery path, going into fertility treatments in the traditional medical system and proceeding. So time goes by. We're still not getting pregnant. I'm taking fertility drugs that are putting my body into all sorts of havoc. We do get pregnant and then have a miscarriage, actually. So there was this process of, okay, well, as the grieving moves through with that, you know, fine. Okay, well, just let's do that thing that worked this time and do it again. And the reality was it didn't work. And I just finally got to this point where the side effects from the drugs and everything else I was cycling through my body, I was just flat out done. And I had what I'll call a pretty serious kind of physical body breakdown as in conjunction with what I'll call this very spiritual awakening. And I remember being in a heap on the end of the track, you know, literally at like 4 or 5 a.m. with running buddies. It was pretty interesting the times a day that I ran to work it around everything else in my schedule. And I just was like, I can't do this anymore. And in the tears, I realized I needed to release having a child. So, you know, I talked to my partner about that and we let it go. And when I say let go, people have been saying, oh, as soon as you don't think about this, that's when it's going to happen. And while that's really beautiful advice, the reality is until, you know, my head got that and just was like, yeah, fine, whatever. But until my body caught up, and that's what happened, my body went, I can't do this. I have to let it go. So it was not a mental decision. That was the moment that something happened. And it was literally, I had been tracking my basal body temperatures in Excel spreadsheets. And like, yeah, it was pretty bad. That it was about a month later that I wake up and I'm like, you know, I had lost complete track of what cycle day I was on. I didn't know my temperatures, nothing like this. And yet, sure enough, I was pregnant. So that to me was a powerful awakening. Like, oh, Leslie, guess what? you don't get to just grip the reins of life and force everything to happen when you want it to happen. It doesn't work that way. You need to let go. So that was the beginning of learning to let go, and only the beginning, because what it woke up then was this journey, this space that said, oh, there is something more. There is a value to trust. There is a value to slow down. There's a value to listen to the body. My body had been screaming messages with pain and discomfort and injuries and all sorts of strange little things that were popping up over and over again. And in my 20s, that was fine. I would just keep patching and moving on or pushing through. I'm really grateful that I could start to listen before they became really, really big problems. Yeah. And so anyway, that moment kind of went, oh, yep, can't hold on and grip in this way. What that then opened up was I started to kind of brush my eyes open and sort of like, you know, I'm rubbing my eyes a little bit, blink, blink, as I'm seeing that the world is set up in a completely different way than the way that I had seen before. And I started to come to awareness with needing to reconnect with my divine feminine. And then I could start to see, wow, I've been really steeped in this masculine fire. I need to reconnect with some juiciness. And you mentioned my art. That was really one of the big pieces that brought me, that helped make the bridge or the transition process, was this acknowledgement that I need to tap back into connecting with my art that I had lost so long ago. You know, as a child, I loved painting and drawing, and I had let go of it. I had been, you know, engineering school and now career, you know, I just sort of blew away the time. I didn't create time anymore for that sort of thing. And so I started to create time for that again. And I started to do things like dance with abandon in the living room, even though I didn't think I could dance at all. And these things that just got invited. And I'm really grateful. I had a beautiful woman in my life who, you know, Deb Austin, who just really was amazing in her invitation to me to open my eyes. And she was the one that said, Leslie, you know, let go of your death white grip on the steering wheel. You know, in her gentle way, she said right. That. And she probably didn't say it quite like that. And it was just really beautiful to start to invite myself into this journey of reconnecting with juiciness. So that that began or that continued then the journey that really was one of reconnecting with my art, connecting with the joys in my life, and starting to vision and envision and then create and gestate my path as a sacred sexual healer. Sacred sexuality as a journey had been a really important part of my life, and I was starting to see it now a little clearer. And then what came up was like, well, how do I teach about, like, I'm feeling this calling, and I had been synchronistically guided to connect with various teachers and various journeys to some sacred sites on this planet, Egypt and Peru, that really started to open up my awareness and sort of, I'll word it now as unlock some keys in my body. These, like, those kind of higher evolutionary codes that say, oh, wow, I just know something needs to be different. And yes. Certainly I may not have worded it that way then, but that's what I see now, is these keys were unlocking and the pieces started to come into place. And I spent some time in Jean Houston's mystery schools as well, that were really about how can I tap into my capacity as this amazing human and gestate and grow my path, like connecting with my authentic path. That really, to me, that is what my role as a sacred sexual healer and transformational guide, as you're asking, you know, this transition from engineer to that, what it's been is really listening, unlocking the codes, and paying attention to what my authentic purpose on this planet is. And I keep just listening and trusting. So it's been strongly, strongly a spiritual path in the sense of waking up to the reality that there is a spiritual connection, which I wouldn't have named before, you know, that day on the track. Right. And as I could start to name it or just see it, things started to open, like connection with animals, animal wisdom that would come in and be like, yes, you know, this is, you're taking the right step. And then each of those steps and each of those stories, there are many, that each one just gave that next level of trust. Like, oh, this is really working. Like, I don't know what this all looks like. I don't know what the you know, this foggy area of the future is, but I know I need to do this one piece now. And that was really the core of what that transition was all about. Yeah, cycling art, connection with sacred geometry, connection with my meditation and yoga practices, and all of these pieces and how they wove together to become what I call illuminating the path of self-realization through this journey. And so that's the beginnings of that journey.
that's a really beautiful unfolding. It sounds like it was gentle and purposeful. Did you ever come to places though where there was a lot of fear or big barriers to taking the next steps?
Oh yes. Oh yes. What comes in is the one I'll share a bit about actually. So I started all this. I'm still in corporate engineering. Right. Here I am in corporate engineering and corporate life. And when I had started that career path, I really came to it with a place of, oh yeah, I'm going to be here for 30 years. I'm going to retire. This is my journey. This is what I'm supposed to do. And it was of service for a long time. And then came the day that I knew that I'm not supposed to be here forever. And it scared the crap out of me. And I'm like, what does that mean? Are you supposed to quit? What are you going to do if you quit? How do you quit? You got to be kidding me. And it came with, like, we had already had so many, like, the automotive industry had been in quite a downturn. So there had been cycles of layoffs and requests for volunteers to leave. And I literally had no little inkling or desire that I was going to leave during all of that. And it wasn't until this point came. And it was interesting because it kind of triggered a deep space in me around motherhood, was that there was an election by the company to cut off all childcare services. So they had been supplementing the childcare centers. So we paid X amount, but the company also paid a bit for those things to run. And they, in the process of cost-cutting measures, eliminated them instead of, say, considering asking the parents to pay more or whatever. So it triggered this deep place in me of, oh my gosh, they don't love me. They're not giving me support, and especially for my child. And now, oh my gosh, you know, and as soon as that hit, it was this realization that, oh, you're looking for love in the wrong place in that case. So that's okay. You can release that. But wow, maybe it is time to go. So I sat with the fear of that because especially for me, my life had been so woven into the structure that created. So it wasn't just about leaving a job. It was about everything that my life had woven in that was related to it. So even just the logistics of things like, you know, my bank accounts or my car that I had was a company car. Like my insurance was through the company. Like all of these sort of how we walk in 3D planet stuff was so interrelated in that it wasn't just a matter of can I handle not having the paycheck? It was, can I unwind all these tendrils that I've created for myself that are absorbed in this structure? And so it was a lot of fear, a ton. And for me, the way I worked with that was, you know, one step at a time. Let's look at this. When you look at that whole big chunk, it's so overwhelming you can't even consider it. But if I just take the one piece, like, oh, my bank accounts, okay. You know, oh, actually, just even though I was related, I actually don't need to change my bank account. Even though I had an affiliation with this company, it doesn't matter. I can still do it without being affiliated. Or the car, oh, I found actually there's a way I can get a car that's exactly what I want. And, you know, and just one step at a time, I started to kind of map out, like my brain needed a little more I need a little more planning than just like, let's quit tomorrow. So over the course of like a year or however long it took, I started to kind of build my confidence that, yeah, the universe really was pointing me in that direction. Because part of the fear was the trepidation of, am I really connecting with authentic guidance here? Or is this some other wounded egoic place in myself? And you know, I don't want to follow that. I want to follow the authentic road. Like, how do I make sure?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the making sure became a connection with body and with some animal guidance, which I can share more if we'd like. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, it's very easy for me to laugh as you were talking about those first moments of fear and seizure about that. Because of course I've gone through that in my own life too. And I really thank you for sharing that story with us, because I think it'll help people to see that some of these things that seem like I'm totally losing my identity and who I am and moving into this new space, it can be done. And with this deep listening to the body, this is one of the, I think, the safest ways to navigate this.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I agree completely. The safest way is the present. The more deeply tethered I become in my body, the more sense of well-being and like, you know, life's got my back. I got this. Even if something happens I don't expect.
Yeah. So it's time for another break. And mm-hmm. when we come back, we'll talk about sexual healing in society and also let you know how to contact Leslie. So we'll be right back with The Art of Transformation on Voice America Empowerment Channel.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. You need to live up to your full potential. You've heard that for years, but now there's a channel to help you get there. Introducing the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Our listeners have told us that they want to be motivated, hear about success stories, and positive encouragement around the clock. And we've responded to you. The Voice America Empowerment Channel is the home of the world's top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success experts. Listen to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's here at voiceamericaempowerment.com.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
How do you define work? Is it that mundane Monday through Friday place that seems to be sucking a third of your life out of you? Or have you made it a place of personal fulfillment, achievement, and purpose? If you are looking to make your work life the latter, tune in to Working on Purpose with Elise Cortez. There are all kinds of inspiring work-life stories told by people who have made work something to look forward to every day. Working on Purpose can be heard every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Empowerment.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at Voice America TRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to The Art of Transformation with Mara Evenstar. If you would like more information about our program or just have a question or comment about today's episode, please send an email to rmi.services@gmail.com. That's ARAMMAI.services@gmail.com. Now, let's continue with The Art of Transformation.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Mara Evenstar, and today we're talking with Leslie Blackburn, Sacred Sexual Healer. So Leslie and I were talking about her journey as well as what is sacred sexuality and the need for healing, actually, that that has to happen, this need for this awakening, this need to do healing. And like all things where we have distortions and healing, this healing needs to happen on many levels. So let's talk a little bit about the need for sexual healing on the cultural and societal levels. What are you seeing here, Leslie?
Beautiful. I was just sitting with this again, actually, through the course of this weekend as I was teaching a class, that to me, the very core foundational work we're working with at a consciousness level is connected with this very quality of sexual healing. So if I rewind it back to even, you know, so that to me is like this huge umbrella of consciousness and the way we're all connected on the planet. And the pieces of that, the cultural and societal pieces of that, what I'm noticing and seeing is we've been through some millennia of time where these huge, again, distortions, as you mentioned, are permeating through things like our educational systems and our religious structures and the very core ways that we learn about life as being our body should not be trusted. We better not listen to that. And it shows up in pop culture. So things where sex becomes very polarized into being either really like pornographic and sort of this thing we shouldn't pay attention to or sweep under the rug, or even some of the violence and abuse that gets associated with sexuality, or on the other end of that spectrum, maybe like the perversion or addiction around like, wow, you know, perhaps you could call that being positive around sex, but is it really if it's an addiction? And so, you know, it's so deeply entrained through so much of how we learn about life that it causes not the sexual healing as a nature of need or as an invitation for this whole planet is not only about sort of, again, sex in the bedroom, sex. It is. It's certainly very connected because when we're trusting being deeply in our bodies and in deep down into our root and sexual centers, that obviously is connected with our sexual energy and how we relate in sexual experiences physically. And it's the very core, again, I come back to, of our foundation and safety and well-being on the planet. I come back again, once again, to this container being the foundation, and the way that container, the quality of creating a safe space, comes in for me, is in so many ways. We touched on it about how we could think of it as our healthy masculine saying, "I gotcha. I'm going to hold this safe space and simply see you." And that might mean you could fall asleep in my arms and I'm not going to touch you inappropriately. I'm not going to try to sneak a hand somewhere where it shouldn't be. If you're crying, I'm simply going to witness the tears and hold space for that release. And I'm going to love you unconditionally through it all. That kind of quality of energy, which to me comes from slowing down and paying attention, is, I think, the core of what's supporting and what's continuing to support. And so, you know, as we talk about these distortions, the reality is we can change that. And I see it. I'm feeling it. I'm living in a place where there really is shift of possibility. And we really are connecting with the safety in our bodies and holding that space for others so that it supports this amazing uprising as we talk about the rise of the divine feminine in consciousness and shifting on this planet. The very core support for her to rise is in that healthy masculine going, you know, I gotcha. And I'm going to see you deeply and support you in your power to let that juiciness flow in and be heard. It is deeply entwined through those. The other thing I'm just noticing, as I mentioned, some of the ways we learn about sex, often it's ways we don't learn about sex.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So I'll take a moment with that. But the thing that came in was, you know, I invite people often to sink in and think back, feel with, what were those earliest sexual experiences that were in your awareness? And what do those look like? And to look at them from a witness place, an observer of your own self, and just notice, how do those flavor the current ways you interact sexually, for example? Because sometimes just simply taking a little peek at that can be so illuminating as to why we might interact in a way we do. And we can start to look at it and kind of see it from our new place of awareness that we all have, right? We're seeing things in new ways now. And we can go, oh, wow, you know what? I don't have to carry that limiting thought or belief. And to maybe offer that there can be shifts and changes. So often I'll work with people who the way they learned about sex was either something that we might seem rather innocuous as sort of stumbling into it in the girl-boy scene of growing up, or the girl-girl, or the boy-boy, totally honoring how we connect there. But just in that sort of realm of exploring with other people in, you know, in our age range and things like that. And so, okay, that's actually probably the most reasonable way. But sometimes I've heard of people learning by, I'm going to watch porn. I'm going to watch some of specific videos or things that's how I'm going to learn how to have sex. And to be clear, I'm not trying to downgrade watching videos or reading literature. Like, there's a lot of value to that. It's just that often the ones that are most mainstream, publicly available, can really, really give us a sense of patterning that is not so healthy and isn't supportive. And when someone comes to me and says that's how they learned, you know, I'm holding this big space of compassion around, let's look at it a little differently. Like, when that's all you know, that's hard to see that there can be another way. And so rather than saying, oh, well, you're a bad person because that's the only way you know, I hold the space that says, you know what? No, let's, you know what? I hear that that's what you know. And did you know that there's another way? And here are some other ways we can look at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That really reminds me of, I'm reading a book by Parker Palmer right now on hidden wholeness. And he talks about how the soul, you know, bringing forward the soul, it's a shy and a wild thing, he says. It's like a wild animal. And he says, when you want it to come out, you don't go crashing through the woods,
yeah.
You know, tearing through and calling to it. No, you move quietly and reverently into the woods, and you become one with the environment. And that's when it feels safe to come out. I just really thought that was,
yes,
really beautiful metaphor of the way that he was speaking of this.
Oh, delightful. And I'll take that metaphor a step further to say it's something I'm often offering for especially women. And I'll hold this actually for anyone who's being penetrated. So that could be men too, anally, and or, you know, many ways that we can be penetrated energetically or physically. But for a moment, I'll bring it to the example of women and our yoni. And yoni being sacred space. It's a word in Sanskrit meaning sacred space. And to a word that I feel brings such honor to this beautiful deep womb space of a woman's body. And there's a what I call the yoni boundary. And it's with the phrasing that boundary is not a list of bad things or restrictions. Like, that's often the way the word boundary gets, oh, that's just a list of restrictions I can't do. Like, no. Boundary is container. When we're holding the container that feels right, the juiciness can flow.
Yeah.
So what I invite for the yoni container, I'll say, is a message of, and it's kind of like what you just shared with the woods. I'm not going to go diving right in or grasping at what's it like to ask and receive permission before even making gentle contact. You know, asking and receiving permission before what I might call gently parting open, you know, the beautiful gates of the yoni. And then asking and receiving permission before even beginning the process of penetration. And then there's all layers to that. But really with the intention, as you just described, that what's it like to meet with a listening hand, for example, to meet our bodies. And I invite this for us who have yonis as well, to really to honor that for our own body, not just that we're asking for it from another person, but is my yoni ready to be contacted yet? Can it be met with a listening hand that's standing at the edge of the woods, so to speak, and just coming into relationship to listen? And then what will happen is she will, when she's ready, she will meet you and invite you in. And so it's not a grasping, or it's not a pushing or a prodding or a forceful penetration. And that was a real shift for me. Even me, I'll share quite honestly that for many decades of my sexuality, I was kind of in a place of like, well, yeah, I really like sex. Like, so, you know, I'm with a committed partner. I want you in me too, right? So let's hurry up, maybe grab the lube or do what we need to do. But that what I've learned is, while that was okay, it was fine, my body really was asking for something different. And when I listened to what she was asking for, these exquisite gems of a gift started to be revealed, of honoring shifts and changes in the revealing of deep places of my body that I had not even recognized were there to be revealed. Quite powerful. Yeah,
it's very powerful. And I'm feeling like, you know, as we're speaking of this and also thinking about sexuality within, you know, kind of the society and the culture, and it's just like, it feels to me like the same as compassion. The more you can open to compassion for yourself, the more you can soften into allowing yourself to be heard, the more capacity that gives you for compassion for others, or for others to be the sexual beings that they are, to be, you know, to be entering into space with one another where we're holding this much more sacredly, because we've figured out, we have found ways to do it for ourselves.
Yes, it translates absolutely and weaves back and forth from that. You know, entering the holy space of the temple, we hold that same reverence, you know, out in the edges of the foyer where the community bulletin board is, you know, that's okay. We may collect with more of a public awareness, but, you know, as we enter those deep spaces of temple, as one another analogy of community, like we're honoring that there's a deepness to each of those phases as we're settling into the congregation or the deeper centers. There's the same kind of approach with whether it's our physical body or meeting another person. Like, listen and meet them and relate to them, again, as you mentioned, with that compassionate space of, here we are together sharing this moment, even if it's simply a connection with the eyes for 10 seconds in the produce department of the grocery store, you know, just, hi, fellow being, you know?
Yes.
Awesome, you know, and coming into relationship, that phrase, coming into relationship with myself, with nature, with other beings, with spirit, that deepening, it to me, it's a spiral of layers and layers of really listening and allowing that deep connection.
Wow, that's really beautiful. In 1 minute, Leslie, can you tell us what is alive and opening for you now?
Oh, one thing I'll speak is my cherry tree is literally blooming. It blooms maybe 5 days a year, and it is in bloom. And so for me, it's a representation of what I'm feeling calling through me right now, which is sharing more of this message with the world in new ways. And the opportunity to speak here with you, Mara, has been a piece of that. So thank you.
Wow. Thank you. Yes, I'm so pleased that we're able to have this conversation, and I'm hoping that we can continue this and have many more touch points with this. So Leslie and I invite you to spend a little time today or in the next few days journaling about your relationship, journaling or drawing or dancing about your relationship to sexuality and spirituality, and spending some time really reflecting about those, you know, really reflecting on those early experiences and seeing what your relationship is to that now. Are there places where old experiences and beliefs are holding you back from your fullest, healthiest expression? So you can get more information about Leslie's offerings and informational video and audio at mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. That's mysteryschoolofthetemplearts.com. And here you can also purchase her CD called Tantric Energy Touch. So this is Mara Evenstar. Thank you for joining me on The Art of Transformation. You can sign up for my organization's monthly newsletter at newmythworks.com. or contact me personally. Visit my website, aramai.com, A-R-A-M-M-A-I.com. I would love to help you be the artist of your own transformation. So thank you so much for joining me, Leslie.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me, Mara.
And I look forward to practicing the art of transformation with all of you on Wednesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Voice America Empowerment Channel. Until next time.
Thank you for joining us for The Art of Transformation. Please tune in for another edition with Mara Evenstar next Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.